You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local. And as I always start with, this is the show that does what our title says. We lean local. And we have concerns what's going on everywhere else in the world, in Gaza, and of course what's all going on in D.C. right now and here in Madison. But this show, we're going to focus on the greater Green Bay area. And we've been doing that. We've had great guests. I will tell you that this show with the guest sitting next to me, you can't get much more local than that because you got your former mayor, me, and the current mayor, Eric Gingrich, who's in the studio. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me again.
Yeah, this will be interesting. I have, as I told you, quite a few things, and if you don't, you can wave me off anytime, but we've done this before. We know each other.
No, looking forward to it.
Yeah. Let me just start with something that we've been talking about for a year, and I just want to get your read on it because I haven't talked to you since the draft, but the mayor of the city, televised 14 million people. We had total probably 200,000 people a day were here
right.
to kind of take in the community. And what's your read on it? And I'd like you to give it a letter grade too. I usually ask people who come in to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably give it an A minus or something. You know, not perfect, but we were pretty darn happy with how things came off, especially how how it was perceived from afar. Mm-hmm. You talk about those millions of viewers. And as we talked about leading into it, you can't pay for something like that. You can't buy that kind of exposure and coverage. And so I think the city, the region, the state really came off very positively. The event itself, I think, went very smoothly. Had the one arrest, I think 8 ejections or something like that. So from a public safety point of view, really everybody stayed safe. Drone incursions was kind of the biggest thing that that folks were dealing with from the public safety side of things. You know, was really happy with some of the partnerships that we developed with Downtown Green Bay, OBI, Military Avenue, to try to activate, you know, different areas of town. The one thing that we knew going in talking with, you know, both the mayor of Detroit and mayor of Kansas City, some mm-hmm. former host cities, was that this is a really sticky event in the sense that people come to your community, but they, by and large, they're gonna be close to that event footprint. And so the struggle for us was trying to, you know, pull as many people as we could out of that campus when the draft itself wasn't going on. So, you know, had the kickoff event at Lake Park on Wednesday night and then closed things out on Saturday night over there as well. You know, had the Kringle Combine and the Booyah Battle and the Living Packers Trail, which was kind of a fun thing. So yeah, really happy with a lot of those partnerships, like I said, to take advantage of what we could. You know, I think going into it, some people's expectations, you know, didn't necessarily match up with what they experienced. But I think that's going to be the case no matter what kind of event you're talking about.
And I think I thought it was a great event. You know, we went Thursday night and then we went Saturday. And Saturday was great. There was so much to see there. It didn't feel as crowded. And not that I can judge a crowd, but man, it just didn't feel like 200,000 because you go to a Packer game with 80,000. It's kind of not the exact same area. Obviously,
right.
There's cars there, but I'm talking about more as you get towards hinterland.
Right. Well, and just
that was so
of,
open there. I
absolutely.
Thought that was awesome. It wasn't crowded.
Yeah, I think the layout was fantastic. So kudos to the Packers and the NFL for how they set things up. I think it also, you know, opened some of our eyes to what you could do as far as events are concerned. We've always wanted to do more in the bowl at Lambeau itself, right? But that footprint there, you know, like you said, you can fit a lot of people in there, and it did not ever, to me, feel real congested. We were there all 3 days, mm-hmm. not the entirety of the time, obviously, but popped in and out. And, you know, Thursday night, people were more drawn into the stage, so a little bit more congested, but even Thursday night wasn't too bad. The other interesting thing, I don't think the NFL has ever seen more guests on day 3 than they had on day 1. And that was the case with our draft.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's cool.
Like us, you know, we brought our kids on Saturday. I think a lot of families did the same thing. It was Wisconsin Day. So there was polka, you know, there's just, there's kind of Charlie Behrens was there. There's kind of a cool focus, on the community and the state. So I think that added to things.
It did. What about the cost? Did we put money into that? Did we make money on it? How did that work with the, cause I saw some, I think there's some legislation coming up from the city, county,
right,
state.
Yes. So from a public safety point of view, obviously, you know, pretty costly experience for the city, the county, and to a lesser extent for Village of Ashwaubenon. And so we reached out to the governor before he put his budget together. He put in $1 million for public safety expenses for those three entities. A couple of legislators, principally Representative Steffen, has been leading the charge, along with Representative Rivera Wagner and Jamie Wall. Just, you know, the whole delegation has been very supportive of public safety for the local entities here. So we're really hopeful that something is going to come out of that. We've got support from the governor. We've got support from bipartisan legislators. But yeah, you know, we had some real skin in the game as far as, you know, our coffers are concerned, and felt like it was worth it given, like I said, the exposure that was experienced. The other thing that I just want to touch on real quickly, you mentioned the 600,000, right? Which is kind of the NFL number.
Right.
Over 3 days, Detroit, you know, claims they had 770.
Oh, yeah. I know the mayor.
Right. Good guy.
He's a great guy.
And he's done some cool things over in Detroit, actually running for governor. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, but
should win.
Yeah. So, but just making the point that, you know, we use this platform called Placer AI, which is a way that you can track how many people come to an event, and it uses cell phone data. And so in terms of unique visitors, American unique visitors, we had more unique visitors than City of Detroit did for their draft.
All right. So, well, that's great. Cause
it's fantastic.
If exposure is the name of the game, which it was, or it is, I should say. Okay. Yep. All right. Two more things, and then I want to move on. You had said earlier that we can do it. I don't remember. I saw in the paper the naysayers. I don't remember a lot of naysayers. I'll be honest with you. I think some people had some concerns.
Right.
But I don't think anyone that was in this show or even with Johnny and I in the morning said, we can't do it.
Right.
But if there were naysayers like that, you sure proved them wrong.
Well, I mean, a lot of folks, I listened to, you know, Alder Johnson's conversation with you. I think he mentioned social media as a place where you can can find a lot of naysayers. I think that was, I was also kind of poking at the president of the Lions who was talking some trash leading up to our draft.
That's
so
half the fun.
There's a good spirited rivalry, of course, but yeah, you know, I think there are a few people that were very concerned about, you know, could Green Bay handle this many people, right? And this kind of a crowd. And I think we did it beautifully. And like I said earlier, I think it just kind of opens our minds to using that campus for, you know, for some different purposes in the future.
Right, and that's where I want to get to right now. So it went well. When I ask people who come in here, you know, your director of public works, chief of police, I always ask them letter grade it. And I think the lowest was a B plus or a B, okay? Yeah. So, and people know you're on the show today because I'd mentioned it. And ask them this, ask them that. And I'm like, we don't have time to do everything. But one of the questions, and it's a good one, and I've asked it before, I'm going to ask it again. So we can do it. We do 80,000 people every week in the city, you know, 10 games. 200,000 people with the draft. Why, the Who's back on tour, right? They're doing their final tour. Hmm. Why aren't we doing more of that? Getting the Stones, you know, the campus thing I get, and you can add to other events. People can put up food trucks, and I think that's an opportunity to make money for the small guy. But why isn't that happening more, Mayor?
I would love to see more events in the bowl.
Well, you own it.
Yeah. Yes, as you know.
I know.
It's a city facility. But, of course, there's an arrangement with the Green Bay Packers, and they are able to say what, you know, what is complementary to their operations and what is not. You know, it's something that we've been looking at simply because, you know, looking at it a little bit more closely in the last few years, simply because of the interest on the part of the Packers in renegotiating the lease. So I think there are some ideas as far as how you could more consistently activate Lambeau Field, because I think, you know, a band like The Who or Bruce Springsteen or Garth Brooks, I mean, there's a long Taylor Swift, there's a long list or a good list, I should say, of people that could fill up that stadium.
But, okay, I don't want to dwell on this, but everybody you mentioned has played in NFL stadiums.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I don't get it. Okay. Like, I still don't get it, but thanks for trying to answer that.
Well, you're the mayor. I think you understand, you know, kind of the relationship that exists
but
between
I had a lease.
The Packers and the
Green Bay City. You're negotiating the lease, and that's going to be on the top of your, one of the things that you're negotiating.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that's cool. That's good enough for me. Last thing, Pittsburgh is where the NFL draft goes to. Advice for them?
You know, similar to what I heard from Detroit and Kansas City mayor, which is really just take full advantage of the fact that this event is going to be in your town. Nobody, I shouldn't say, I mean, principally people are going to the event itself, right? So you have to be really intentional about pulling people out of that that experience when the draft itself isn't going on. So that's the big advice, is just get together with business groups, community organizations as soon as possible. Now, they're experiencing a little bit of a transition. I don't know if you saw that, but they had their primary election for mayor just on Tuesday, and their incumbent lost. So there's going to be some scrambling, I think, not a ton of time, because I think the new mayor will be coming in January. So that's going to complicate things a little bit just from the administration's point of view. But, you know, I think it just makes even more sense to start planning early.
Yeah. I have one criticism of the draft, and I enjoyed it. We had a lot of people on this show, especially on Johnny's show, Mine on the Mayor in the Morning. I wish we would have done more with the opportunity with the 14 million people looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I understand it's an NFL draft and players introduce other players, and I get that. But I wish we could have used local talent to introduce the person that's going to introduce. Like, I would have liked to have seen Dr. Hunsinger there from the medical college.
Sure.
I think out of those 14 million people, I'm not sure a lot of them know we have a medical college.
Mm.
And even the university system are one of the best technical colleges in the United States, which is really picking up some steam at TC. That's
right.
Happening. The whole fishery that we have here. And it would have been cool. I would just leverage that a little bit more, because I talked to friends of mine in Atlanta that watched it, talking to her. And I said, so who should I watch? I watched the whole thing cover to cover. And I'm like, what'd you get out of that? Well, you know, the Packer fans really like the Packers. Not breaking news.
Sure.
And that the Packers really love the fans. And I just wish she would have said something a little different. I'm like, that's great. But it was very, very positive all the way around. But anyway,
that's
something next time you will work on that.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Hey, all right. We're with Mayor Eric Gingrich, Mayor of the City of Green Bay. I got a lot of things to get to. Thanks for sharing your comments on the draft. But we're going to get into more economic development. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local with Jim Schmidt, our in-house, very special guest, Mayor Eric Gingrich from the City of Green Bay. And got a few things. We'll start moving this. There's so many things that you are working on and that I've got an interest in, and as does the community, we'll get to that. But first, you can't do these shows without a sponsor. And we've got two great sponsors in this half hour. I just want to highlight Nicolet Bank. And I know, as the mayor, you know them very well, because their strength, besides great interest rates, you know, 57 branches. Of course, they've acquired Anchor Bank. They've acquired Mid-Wisconsin Bank. You know, they're just on a roll. They're a very healthy in terms of financially healthy bank. They hire great employees, and they take that and they put it back in their community.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're incredibly community-minded as well.
Right.
And, you know, big supporters of On Broadway and downtown Green Bay and just downtown generally. They're a great organization.
And besides all of that, there's quieter things that they do too. I'll go to the event and I'll see their sign. I'm like, well, that's cool. So
right.
They really, and they help us out at the new community shelter.
A lot of volunteers. I mean, they provide a lot of volunteers. So, yep.
They
all kinds of causes.
I don't know if they pay them or if it's just the culture there, but I'll tell you, and they're great volunteers. They're happy to be there. So anyway, I just want to thank Nicolet Bank. And again, they started in 2000. They're just a great, great bank, and everything from your business. We've had a couple businesses on here that, you know, a good bank lends you money. A great bank helps you through tough times.
Right.
So Nicolet is a great bank because they were very open about it. They said, look, if it wouldn't have been for Nicolet Bank, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah,
so
I believe that.
Anyway, pretty cool stuff. So, all right. Thank you, Nicolet. Couple things. I'm thinking, should I start with nice stuff or tough stuff? But these
give me what you got.
Well, these are what people called me to, Mayor. The coal piles. And I know you're sick of it, and so am I, but it's not done yet, and it should be.
I mean, it's our cross to bear, right, as mayors of Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like you've said, going back to Romy Dennison,
yeah.
Something that we've all wanted to see happen, committed to make happen. You know,
but I just want to say in our defense, we've never had the table set like you do
now.
Oh,
yeah. No, I agree. The stars are aligned. Have had some good recent conversations with the county and C. Rice, but we're up against it. You know, the state has essentially given the county and C. Rice until May 30th to come to an agreement. So so I'm encouraged by some of these recent conversations, but it's getting tight.
This is a big deal, and not just, well, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, this isn't that. This is bigger than that. I mean, this is going to really change the looks, the economic impact of Green Bay. Have you talked about bringing in like a professional mediator? You know, the NFL does that once in a while, right? With all the money they have and all the talent they have, we got to bring somebody in to work this out. Is that looked at or?
Yeah.
Okay,
that was a concept really that I had proposed. Hopefully not necessary. Like I said, we've had some legitimately really good conversations just within the last couple of days. But it's critically important. I mean, it's got to happen. Like I've said all along, failure is really not an option here. The stars are aligned. We have the property now to make it happen with Pulliam plant being the Pulliam power plant being vacated. So it's got to happen.
Two things the rest of us didn't have was an acceptable place to move them. And we talked about a lot of different things. We'll move them here, we'll move them there. But the Pulliam plant I wouldn't use the word perfect, but it is the best that's ever come up in the last 100 years.
Yeah, it's the most suitable.
And the other issue that we had was financial. And there'll still be money needed, but the state has stepped up pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $15 million with a neighborhood investment grant to make this happen. So there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen, as you know. But you know, collaboration is difficult, but it's got to happen.
Yeah. Like I told you when I saw you the other day, if there's anything I can do, let me know. But it's got to get done.
Yeah.
All right.
No, and just on that, I mean, I really appreciate you and former Mayor Jaden stepping up and saying publicly what needs to be said and really what everybody believes in the community. I mean, there's real consensus when it comes to the citizens of this community. They understand the opportunity that we have in front of us and they know we got to do it.
Well, we're going to know in a couple of weeks.
Very shortly.
Well, good luck on that one.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that comes through. A couple other bigger projects. Then I want to drill down to your municipality, but the Southern Bridge. I wasn't always the biggest fan of that. I'll admit that because I wanted the money to stay here and I thought that may cause people to move. But it's going to happen.
Done it deal. Is, yeah. And I think I saw pictures of like a groundbreaking or something not too long ago.
And I, next week on Lean Local, I'm bringing in an engineer who, you know, he's going to tell us about the timing and the engineer, the structure. And then I'm bringing in someone to talk about the economic development, the economic impact, the rooftops, commercial, retail. I don't know what they're all looking for out there, but have you been in that? You support that? What's your feeling on?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have much of a role to play in that. When it comes to development, I'm, you know, much more interested in infill development within the city of Green Bay. So, you know, it's been a priority project for the county since the late 60s, I want to say. A really long time. So, you know, kudos to them and DePere and some other folks for convincing the state and the feds to make it happen. It's just, it's not, you know, I've got a long enough list as you can attest to. And so it's just, it's not something that we've spent a lot of time on.
All right. I just want to get an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the city. We'll start on the west side. And I know the city's 50 square miles, and we can talk about neighborhoods on the east side, west side, some of the things that are going on. But in this section right here, man, I'll focus on the downtown.
Yeah.
The west side, you've got three or four major things going on. So if we can just maybe start with the shipyard.
Yeah.
That is really elevated in terms of people are looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Timeline, what do you see there in 3 years, 5 years when you walk out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've activated the waterfront with some of the improvements that were unveiled just this past summer. So the riverfront promenade, the floating docks, the kayak launch,
right.
Much of that is kind of on the south end of the slip there. Not all of it, but much of it. On the north side of that slip, we're really looking forward to breaking ground with Merge. Hopefully, I want to say late summer, early fall. On, they're going to have a two-phase market rate apartment development there. I think 225 units.
Yeah, that's
hard to keep all the unit count straight with all the stuff we got going on, but in the neighborhood of 200 plus there.
Is Merge the fire department or is that?
No.
Okay. You're going to address that because that's right across the street.
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
So Merge is on the, it's on the
right,
east
right on the
side
water.
Of, well, yeah, yep. Of Broadway. Okay, cool.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just north of the slip, east side of Broadway there. Yeah, if you go across the street to the development you're referring to, General Capital. So so they've got, I think it's 93 units
right
in that development in tandem with a new fire station, not just a fire station 3, but also the admin associated.
Nice.
So the chief and assistant chiefs and all the admin staff, they're going to be co-located in that spot. So a nice collaboration between the city and General Capital. Nothing's cheap these days. So we're still kind of doing some value engineering, especially on the fire station side of it. But a much better use of land than exclusively fire use or something.
And even though we're a little bit not critical, but maybe we're critical of the county, they've stepped up on this project as well.
Yeah.
And you got to give them credit for that.
That's a good point. $3.5 million.
Right.
Is coming in federal funding coming through the county to this project, so we're very grateful for that.
All right, cool. We got to go to break. We're going to talk about the public market, some parking things over there, what your plans are, and then we'll be back and do the east side. But you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Lean Local, the show where we do what we say, and we really lean into the local community. Education, economic development, and someone who really has a pulse on what's going on here is Mayor Eric Gingrich, who is my in-studio guest. And again, thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the invitation.
And when we have these shows, we need people to support it. And I'd mentioned Nicolay in the last portion. Another great supporter that we have in this community, and we're picking a few more up, is Pella Windows and Doors. That company is just terrific. And you've been to my house.
Yeah.
But it's not the cheapest thing, but it's the best thing. You know what I mean?
Because right.
Sometimes when we first bought that, it was like, we can only afford to do two a year. But what I'm going to say, they come over and they really look at the long view. And they got with this the laptop, and they can show you different styles. And because my house is a little bit older, and there's a lot of modern houses too, and windows wouldn't look as good in both. So,
right.
And they different colors and the doors that they look at, and their customer, and that's free when they come over and do that assessment of your home. They're the nicest people. They got some great financing plans. Right. I just want to thank John Calvert owns that. Like we're talking about Mike Daniels at Nicolay. Those guys are local. They do a great things for the community. They've done a lot for us at the new community shelter. And I just want to thank Pella. So it's their phone number. If you want to give them a call, if it's time you want to keep the heat in and the air conditioning in as well, doors and windows, that's where you lose it. And besides the kids leaving the door open. But their number, Pella, is 920 435-3791, or you just go online and check everything out at PellaWI.com. So,
and you like hearing a 435 number these days, right?
Yeah, right?
You
know, that's, like, that's us.
That's a solid Green Bay business.
that's us.
That's an old number.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great company. So when we left off, we talked a little bit about Broadway, things that are going on. We talked about really more the southern part with the shipyard, your plans for that, some market rate housing, which I'm glad to hear that, on the water.
Right.
And you're close on that, or you're there? You got a deal?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have a development agreement with Merge, as you can understand, you know, with some of the stuff with tariffs and interest rates and all the rest, you know, it's difficult to put together a deal these days, especially in the multifamily world. But have had some recent conversations with Brent from Merge. They're really committed to the project and hoping we're going to be able to break ground here pretty quick. And like you said, waterfront, right? I mean, they're not making any more of that. Across the river, we're also really excited about the One Astor project, which, you know, was slated to move forward a few years ago. And then tragically, Dean Miller, who owned that property, passed away.
Right.
But Spark and some other folks have picked up the baton and essentially, you know, kind of dusted off his plans and are really just implementing them. And so we adopted that development agreement a couple council meetings ago. So excited about that project as well.
That's nice to get that housing on the waterfront. Let's utilize it, right? Mm-hmm. It's there and you keep the trail too. It's not like we have to give up any trail work for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just great development over there. When we left off, we're just moving a little further north, and the big project there, as everybody knows, is the public market.
Right.
It started really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some cost. I'm not sure why, but it throttled back a little bit. Do you feel?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a recent update from Brian and the team. But, you know, as you yourself, I think, engaged in a fundraising effort with new community shelter that's going really well. And the city, you know, happy to be able to play a little bit of a role with that the other night. But it's tough raising money. I'm not sure exactly how far away they are from their goal. But as a project, you know, we're really excited about that. We've got some city money into it, some TIF incentive, you know, if and when the project moves forward. So we'd love to see it happen.
Okay. That was the last report I got. I didn't know if there was anything new. Yeah, but you obviously support it. You put money into it,
right?
You know, and...
And you know, you've been to plenty of public markets mm-hmm. around the country. Milwaukee, I think, is probably the closest analog. They've modeled a lot of their work off Milwaukee. It's a great amenity. It sucks people in, visitors, but also, you know, I think residents are going to spend a lot of time there. So yeah, very, very excited about it. Hoping it comes together soon.
All right. Well, cool. And as people know, and we'll just remind them, fundraising is part of that. That's not a development like those last two you talked about.
There's no
fundraising in those two, but the public market is a significant item that needs fundraising. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a modest amount of city, county, and state funding into it. But when you compare it to a project like Madison's, they're also doing a public market. There's a lot more private funding that's needed to make this happen.
And that's no reflection on our community. They're very, very generous. It's just that we have a lot of capital projects going on right now. You're
right.
Familiar with the Spiro. Of course, the YMCA and
totally. I think WPS Foundation just stepped up in a big way with a donation to the market. So yeah, there's a ton of generosity here. There's a lot of good causes.
Right, and I remember I went and called on this one guy who you know. I'm not going to mention his name, and he had two projects in mind. He goes, three projects, one wallet.
Right.
I'm like, but you know,
that's not an easy decision.
Well, he picked us, so yeah.
I can't blame him.
All right, so that, and the other issue on Broadway that I was asked to ask you is the parking. Mm. You're going to build a new parking facility there, I think. And
that's in the plans. I mean, the only thing that I would say is we really, as a city, are not interested in building freestanding parking structures anymore. You know, it really would be nice to integrate that into a private development. I think you can create some efficiencies there.
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't know what the recent estimate is on structured parking, but you're pushing like 50,000 a space or, I mean, it's just wild.
Because the one we built on Cherry Street, I think was 16 and I went through the roof.
Yeah.
And that's, if you could do that now, you'd probably do it.
Right. Oh yeah. In a heartbeat. So that's the only thing that I would say is we're really hoping to integrate public parking into private development.
And that happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, and even Cherry Street
housing,
really,
right.
Is like on the first floor, though, right?
It's retail and the housing. So, okay, well, that's good. Let's move over to the east side. On the east side of Green Bay, which some people called downtown. I know there's Broadway and the East Side. I don't feel, and that's why I'm glad you're here, it's moving along like it should be. Do you, I know you got some things going on here. What's your read on
it? Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I don't know if you can see it right out your window, but Nova Green Bay is under construction here. So that's the project that Newland
that's a great project.
Is developing. And I know we touched on that last time I was here. But it's just kind of fun to drive past it, walk past it, see all the cranes in the air and all the work being done. So that's a, you know, $70 million project, at least $55 million assessed. And that's on the higher end of things. You know, we've done a fair amount of affordable and middle income and market rate generally, but this is going to be really the best product in the region. And so we're really excited about that. Kind of on the other end of things, geographically on the southern end of our East Side, mentioned, the One Astor project already, but kind of in between there, Daniel Wickman and Kosmoskis are doing some really interesting things.
I think that's going to work.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yep. So the former Fire Station 1, they've got a great project that we're going to learn some more about here, I think, fairly recently. Daniel also recently purchased the Chase Bank building.
Yes.
Which is really kind of, I think, kind of interesting architecturally, sort of mid-century modern that you don't see too many examples of in our downtown. So my understanding is he's going to be bringing Haberdasher down there as well as some other retail.
And why I think he's going to be successful, I mean, that's a great store where it is now, and I'm glad he's going to build. That's going to be the catalyst for other retail. The surrounding neighborhood will support that.
Right.
I sometimes it concerns me when we build something and it's blue, which is the lower on the economic side.
Sure.
And because in February, we don't get a lot of tourists in Green Bay.
Right.
And so we need the locals to support it. Now, if they can drive down there and park, that's always an option. But
right.
I do think...
Well, and right across the street, just to kind of dovetail off that a little bit, you got Rumley's, right?
Right.
And so it could be a nice little retail node there, which is helpful when you've got some colleagues and related businesses that can kind of benefit from one another.
And a little higher market.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't see Dan putting a Dollar Tree in there.
Right.
But I don't know. It's his land now. But I was excited when I read that. I thought, okay, this is what we needed because that site is pretty vacant.
Yeah, so we're encouraged by all that stuff.
Let me just, we're over on the south side of Washington, Adams. I got to talk about St. John's.
Sure.
Okay? And the shelter, the homeless shelter there. It to me, again, I'm not the mayor anymore. To me, it seems like we are enabling homelessness. We have 36 parks, and they've always been maintained at the same level. There's not high grass in the poor area and, you know, putting green in the rich area.
Right.
They've all been maintained the same. Yet that one, and people, the reason we did that was because parks are for everybody.
Yep.
No, I agree. Old people, 100%. Young people. That is not an everybody park.
Yeah.
And I drive by there every day at 5:30,
right.
And there's people sleeping there, and yet I was told you can't sleep in a park in Green Bay.
Right. No, that's true. And in you know, our police officers, we've got some outreach employees that also work for the city that are over there regularly. We've got park cleanups that are happening consistently. But people are in tough straits, you know, and Green Bay unfortunately is not immune to those trends. Homelessness, you know, is up across the state and the country.
Yep.
And we're doing everything that we can on the housing front. There's a book that was published recently. The title is like a truism. Homelessness is a housing problem, right? And that is absolutely the case. So, you know, our primary goal where we see our lane being really from a city point of view primarily is with housing production. And so we're going to keep doing that, supporting projects like the one that you're involved with, new community shelter, you know, housing at all income levels. And also, you know, having our police department work with some of our outreach employees, folks on the county side, to get people where they need to go. But it's a tough situation.
You spend a lot of money at St. James. You do. You're cleaning the park once or twice a week. You got police over there all the time. Yet where I work, we don't have that.
Yeah.
And people, and then you give them a conditional use permit. They have a special permit to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And the city gave it to them. And then they close for 6 months. And
my preference really would be that they were operating year round.
Well, then don't give them the permit until they do that.
Sure.
Do you have the votes on the council? I didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I know they've had a permit there for quite some time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I always wanted that. Look, I'll give you the conditional use permit. You commit to me that you're going to be open 24/7, 365 days a year, like new community shelter.
Right.
And they didn't want to do that, but the council said, well, I'll give them the 6 months.
Sure. I've had that conversation with Jesse, and I really believe that they should be year round. But that's not where they are right now.
Yeah. Okay. And the park, that's theirs for a while, huh?
No, I wouldn't say that. Like I said, we've got park cleanups that are happening regularly. Our police are over there.
Park, it's the city's park. I mean, the taxpayers are paying for that park.
Yeah.
But it's like Venice Beach, right? No, used to be like that.
It's nowhere near that, Mayor.
Oh, man. Okay, do you walk in there? Mm-hmm. Welcome? Do they know? There's no problem? I don't want to argue with you. I just think that is an area that needs improvement. And then they say,
I wouldn't disagree.
And we're like, well, we took a month, random month. They had 72 police calls. We had zero. And, well, you know why? Different clientele. No, it's not. It's different management styles. So as long as it's a priority for you, that's what the city needs, I think. So
yeah. Appreciate that.
All right, yeah. All right, let's go moving down just a little bit here. I want to talk about the your relationship with the state. We hear a lot of, $4 billion of equity?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
$4.5 billion, I think.
And you have a pretty good relationship with the state, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have in this budget, or what are you looking for state help? Because these projects, and we said that before, they all cost money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned the $1 million that the governor put in for our public safety expenses. Related to the draft, I've been pitching folks on a municipal building fund. You know, we touched on the fire station as a big need for the city. We also have a need for a new police department as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that comes together. It seems like, that isn't necessarily the priority in the legislature. Tax cuts seems to be what folks are really focused on. But, we've been beating the bushes.
And I'm glad to hear you mention police. They've needed that when I was there. I think they needed that when Paul was there.
Right.
So
yeah, and we've, as you know, we acquired the Press Gazette building. Really hoping that'll be the place.
We're gonna be right back. You're listening to Lean Local, Jim Schmidt, Eric Gingrich.
I walk to the sound of my own drum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, former mayor, and our special guest in-house is current mayor, Mayor Eric Gingrich. And again, I want to thank you for being here. This is, I know a little bit about these subjects. We are a local company that really wants to know what's going on locally, and I'm so glad you're here. And we're not going to agree on everything as long as we're aware of everything. I think that's what's really, really important.
No, of course.
Just a couple things very quickly, and then I want to get to a different subject, which are elections. But I titled this the complaint department, but we'll go quick.
I'm familiar with some grievances being in elective office.
Okay. You've heard this. I've heard it. Paul's heard it. Speeding.
Yeah. Man, I mean, it's an issue. There's no doubt about it. I think one thing that we don't have in Wisconsin that would be really helpful is speed cameras. That's a pretty good way of catching people when they're going too fast.
And they work. I got one in Iowa. They work.
Right. Yeah. I got a red light one down in Illinois. And,
yeah.
And they send you a picture. And you're
you're driving. That's me. That's my car. That's my license plate. It's like, you're really going to go fight that?
It's hard to dispute. So I think that would be really helpful just from a policy point of view. You know, otherwise, we're strapped, you know, workforce-wise, right? As you know, you only have so many police officers.
Right.
And they're the only ones that can write tickets, too. That's another thing. In other places, you know, civilians can do certain tickets and things like that. But officers are the only ones here. And so, no, it's a problem. The other thing that you know, we've done some of in the city, would like to do more, road diets, speed tables, traffic calming generally. And we've got $900,000, knock on wood, as long as it continues to flow from Washington. But we've got $900,000 to do some of that work, to do traffic calming, studying other alternatives to slow people down.
Okay, I don't know what the requirements are for that grant, but how about noise pollution? And I hear that more now than I did, and I heard it when I was mayor too. But we gave the cops those decibel meters, and you could call in a license number, and they would go check it out.
Yeah,
that is. Really bothers me, and I agree. I'm probably more sensitive than most people on that, but I just find that akin to someone driving by your house and throwing trash on your lawn. I think that's so disrespectful. And they buy those things legal. They modify them to be illegal.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, we obviously, you know, do a fair amount of traffic enforcement, and I see those reports where we are writing tickets for that kind of a thing. But I live, you know, we live right off East Mason and out by East Town Mall, and, you know, it's a little bit of a drag strip, unfortunately, so I can relate.
And the thing that what we have on Monroe is, I'm talking Saturday morning, Sunday morning. They're out for a ride with these. And it's just it's so, I don't think it's a lot of people. I think it's the same people a lot of times.
Right. I don't know who they're impressing. That's what I always, That's what I always wonder. But no, it's hugely frustrating.
Yeah, that is. Okay. It's May, June. The elections are going to come up soon, sooner than I think people think.
Right.
With the spring elections, but when you look at pulling the papers, you're looking at what, you know, 7 months away from that.
Yeah.
Are you going to be involved in that, or what's your feeling? What's your relationship with the council? I was disappointed that they had a little press conference before you got elected, and and your name wasn't on.
Yeah, some of them didn't want me to reappear, I guess, in at the next council meeting. But yeah, you know, it's politics. And we also have an opening, just to, you know, to let people know.
Right.
We've got an opening in the 8th district. So Chris Weary, really one of the longest serving alders, stepped aside. And so people need to get 20 signatures to get consideration from our council, but would encourage people who are interested to do that. And then, you know, looking forward to the election, like you said, I mean, April elections, sure, but it's December 1 when you can start circulating. And, you know, I think competition is a really good thing, no matter who you are, unless, you know, somebody's running against me or you.
What do you think you're doing?
Don't appreciate that, but otherwise, no. It, you know, competition, I think, makes everybody stronger. So I would encourage anybody who's interested in city stuff, county stuff, school board to take a look and talk to their neighbors and see what people are thinking.
And really, it starts there. Just talking to your neighbors. I mean, it's like, hey, do you think about this? And well,
If your next door neighbor isn't going to vote for you,
Yeah, you might want to throttle back.
Right.
But. And then once you do want to learn more about it, and when people do talk to me about it, go to a city council meeting, and they're open to the public.
They are.
But I don't think everybody knows that, or they don't know that they can be there at 6 o'clock every other Tuesday. And
They're on Zoom. They're on YouTube.
Committee meetings, agendas. Even,
yeah, and I would, to your point, I would really encourage people to come in person just to get a feel for things. But, you know, doing research going back, right? I think it's also helpful just to look at some meetings that are available online. Right. So people can get educated on what some of the most prominent city issues are.
Yeah, I think that's all great stuff. You're the mayor. You serve a 4-year term, so you're a year and a half, almost 2 years out. Give it any thought?
Definitely giving it some thought. You know, 2 years out from the election itself. You know, I've given myself about another year and then make the big decision. But, you know, like you, I've got kids and Henry and Amelia a little bit older than they were when I first ran for office. You know, obviously this is a big deal for my wife, Emily. And, you know, sometimes this stuff affects them, or all the time, I should say, affects them in a little bit more dramatic, emotional way than you and I have experienced.
It's harder on them.
It really is.
It is.
And so, you know, it's not just something you say. It's really true that, you know, we're going to sit down and have a conversation as a family and see what people are thinking and then make the call.
We went away. Left Green Bay to do it. Because else you look around, you think, oh, man, no, you can do that. You can do that. But you get away, we can have a really heart-to-heart conversation and be really honest about your fears. You know, they don't want to see Dad get hurt. And on the other hand, you're like, well, I got to get this project done. But there's always a project too, right? Always.
There always is.
All right. We're going to be wrapping this up. We have a couple young guys in here. You guys, any questions for the mayor? Quickly, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, what are the youth thinking?
Yeah. These guys are both like in their 20s.
Right, right.
I just want to know how you define progress.
Oh, God. That's like a philosophical.
Oh, that's it. They're students. Okay, you guys, come on.
I don't know, moving forward? that's a big question. I mean, for us, it's just, you know, leaving things a little bit better off than where you got them. And, you know, to Mayor Schmidt's point, there's always another project. But, you know, especially when it comes to downtown, we're just going to keep pushing and doing everything we can.
All right. He's got a whole list. Sorry about that, Kyle. Con, you too. We'll get the mayor back. I know you guys both.
Good.
List. I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I mean, it's a tough job. It is. And people don't see everything. And right.
But it's still the best job.
It is. It's the best job, Mayor. Yeah.
Yeah. No, very fortunate to be in the spot.
All right. Well, thank you, Mayor Eric Gingrich, mayor of the city of Green Bay. We want to get you back here. That's critical to us because you're the guy.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Next week, like I said, we're going to talk about the Southern Bridge with the mayor of DePere as well as some engineers. So we'll see you next week. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.